away your chancel dark escape, and I come face to face with you. Like a thousand times before, I hear you call, and crystal clearly you come through. From a whisper fell, a distinct shout, you bring me to my feet, and now I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the light, out of the light, walking in the light. I'm walking in the light, walking in the light, out of the light. Storms of mystery, but I could never see the harm.
Welcome to the Interactive Church Wednesday Testimony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by csdirectory.com. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in the spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, the website address is csinteractivechurch.org. Within the turquoise box, click on the first link, which provides the order of service and links to the words of the hymns, and other information. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone to help eliminate background noises, thereby enabling a clearer connection. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press star 2 and your phone will be unmuted. Only the readings portion of this meeting will be recorded so that individuals around the world may have the opportunity to listen at their convenience. Let's begin our service with singing. We will be singing the words of hymn number 139 to a different arrangement led by Tanya Perkins. A reminder that the link to the words of this hymn are on the Order of Service webpage. I shall read all of the verses. I walk with love along the way, and oh, it is a holy day. No more I suffer cruel fear. I feel God's presence with me here. The joy that none can take away is mine. I walk with love today. Who walks with love along the way shall talk with love and love obey. God's healing truth is free to all. Our Father answers every call. 'Tis He dispels the clouds of grey that all may walk with love today. Come, walk with love along the way. Let childlike trust be yours today. Uplift your thought. With courage go. Give of your heart's rich overflow, and peace shall crown your joyful day. Come, walk with love along the way. Welcome to this healing service at csinteractivechurch.org. As today is National Start Walking Day in America, the topic of the readings for this Wednesday meeting is National Start Walking Day. The hymns are 139, 247, and 367. I shall be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Leviticus. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. 2 Samuel. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. John. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Acts. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Galatians. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. We walk in the footsteps of truth and love. by following the example of our Master in the understanding of divine metaphysics. Prayer means that we desire to walk and will walk in the light so far as we receive it, even though with bleeding footsteps, and that waiting patiently on the Lord, we will leave our real desires to be rewarded by Him. Christian Science awakens the sinner, reclaims the infidel, and raises from the couch of pain the helpless invalid. It speaks to the dumb the words of truth, and they answer with rejoicing. It causes the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. We must look where we would walk, and we must act as possessing all power from Him in whom we have our being. Anatomy describes muscular action as produced by mind in one instance and not in another. Such errors beset every material theory in which one statement contradicts another over and over again. It is related that Sir Humphrey Davy once apparently cured a case of paralysis simply by introducing a thermometer into the patient's mouth. This he did merely to ascertain the temperature of the patient's body, but the sick man supposed this ceremony was intended to heal him, and he recovered accordingly. Such a fact illustrates our theory. The medical schools would learn the state of man from matter instead of from mind. They examine the lungs, tongue, and pulse to ascertain how much harmony or health matter is permitting to matter, how much pain or pleasure, action or stagnation one form of matter is allowing another form of matter. The motion of the arm is no more dependent upon the direction of mortal mind than are the organic action and secretion of the viscera. When this so-called mind quits the body, the heart becomes as torpid as the hand. Anatomy finds a necessity for nerves to convey the mandate of mind to muscle and so cause action. But what does anatomy say when the cords contract and become immovable? Has mortal mind ceased speaking to them, or has it bidden them to be impotent? Can muscles, bones, blood, and nerves rebel against mind in one instance and not in another, and become cramped despite the mental protest? Unless muscles are self-acting at all times, they are never so, never capable of acting contrary to mental direction. If muscles can cease to act and become rigid of their own preference, be deformed or symmetrical as they please or as disease directs, they must be self-directing. Why then consult anatomy to learn how mortal mind governs muscle, if we are only to learn from anatomy that muscle is not so governed? Is man a material fungus without mind to help him? Is a stiff joint or a contracted muscle as much a result of law as the supple and elastic condition of the healthy limb? And is God the lawgiver? Detach sense from the body or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God or good and the nature of the immutable and immortal. Breaking away from the mutations of time and sense, you will neither lose the solid objects and ends of life, nor your own identity. Fixing your gaze on the realities supernal, you will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being, even as the bird, which has burst from the egg and preens its wings for a skyward flight. The effect of mortal mind on health and happiness is seen in this. if one turns away from the body with such absorbed interest as to forget it, the body experiences no pain. Under the strong impulse of a desire to perform his part, a noted actor was accustomed night after night to go upon the stage and sustain his appointed task, walking about as actively as the youngest member of the company. This old man was so lame that he hobbled every day to the theatre and sat aching in his chair till his cue was spoken, a signal which made him as oblivious of physical infirmity as if he had inhaled chloroform, though he was in the full possession of his so-called senses. I was called to visit Mr. Clark in Lynn, who had been confined to his bed 6 months with hip disease, caused by a fall upon a wooden spike when quite a boy. On entering the house, I met his physician, who said that the patient was dying. The doctor went out. I went to his bedside. In a few moments, his face changed. In about 10 minutes, he opened his eyes and said, "I feel like a new man. My suffering is all gone." I told him to rise, dress himself, and take supper with his family. He did so. The next day I saw him in the yard. Since then I have not seen him, but am informed that he went to work in 2 weeks. The discharge from the sore stopped and the sore was healed. When the first symptoms of disease appear, dispute the testimony of the material senses with divine science. Let your higher sense of justice destroy the false process of mortal opinions, which you name law, and then you will not be confined to a sick room, nor laid upon a bed of suffering in payment of the last farthing, the last penalty demanded by error. The scriptures say, "They that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Individuals are consistent who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. When we wake to the truth of being, all disease, pain, weakness, weariness, sorrow, sin, death will be unknown, and the mortal dream will forever cease. My method of treating fatigue applies to all bodily ailments, since mind should be and is supreme, absolute, and final. The clay cannot reply to the potter. The head, heart, lungs, and limbs do not inform us that they are diseased, consumptive, or lame. If this information is conveyed, mortal mind conveys it. Neither immortal and unerring mind nor matter, the inanimate substratum of mortal mind, can carry on such telegraphy. For God is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and matter has neither intelligence nor sensation. Truth has no consciousness of error. Truth, life, and love are a law of annihilation to everything unlike themselves, because they declare nothing except God. Sickness, sin, and death are not the fruits of life. They are inharmonies which truth destroys. Perfection does not animate imperfection. Inasmuch as God is good and the fount of all being, he does not produce moral or physical deformity. Therefore, such deformity is not real, but is illusion, the mirage of error. mind is the source of all movement, and there is no inertia to retard or check its perpetual and harmonious action. Fear never stopped being and its action. There is no metastasis, no stoppage of harmonious action, no paralysis. Mind is all that feels, acts, or impedes action. Ignorant of this, or shrinking from its implied responsibility, the healing effort is made on the wrong side, and thus the conscious control over the body is lost. The flesh and spirit can no more unite in action than good can coincide with evil. It is not wise to take a halting and halfway position or to expect to work equally with spirit and matter, truth and error. There is but one way, namely God and his idea, which leads to spiritual being. The scientific government of the body must be attained through the divine mind. It is impossible to gain control over the body in any other way. On this fundamental point, timid conservatism is absolutely inadmissible. Only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. Mind is the master of the corporeal senses and can conquer sickness and death. Exercise this God-given authority. Take possession of your body and govern its feeling and action. When mentality gives rest to the body, the next toil will fatigue you less, for you are working out the problem of being in divine metaphysics, and in proportion as you understand the control which mind has over so-called matter, you will be able to demonstrate this control. The scientific and permanent remedy for fatigue is to learn the power of mind over the body, or any illusion of physical weariness, and so destroy this illusion, for matter cannot be weary and heavy laden. The discoverer of Christian Science finds the path less difficult when she has the high goal always before her thoughts than when she counts her footsteps in endeavoring to reach it. When the destination is desirable, expectation speeds our progress. Every day makes its demands upon us for higher proofs rather than professions of Christian power. These proofs consist solely in the destruction of sin, sickness, and death by the power of spirit, as Jesus destroyed them. This is an element of progress, and progress is the law of God, whose law demands of us only what we can certainly fulfill. Through the wholesome chastisements of love, we are helped onward in the march towards righteousness, peace, and purity, which are the landmarks of science. Beholding the infinite tasks of truth, we pause, wait on God, then we push onward until boundless thought walks enraptured, and conception unconfined is winged to reach the divine glory. This concludes the readings.